This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes a strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
Last night, right here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the Utah Jazz take a commanding 2-0 lead over the Los Angeles Clippers. That game had a little bit of everything. Utah up big, Utah fighting from behind late, Donovan Mitchell doing what Donovan Mitchell has done best this postseason. It's definitely been a fun series. We're going to talk about Game 3, which, of course, will air right here tomorrow night, as the Jazz will definitely look to take a stranglehold on the series. I think they get one win in L.A., the series may be done. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the doubleheader coming up at 5:30 tonight as we get the Sixers and the Hawks, and then we get the Suns and the Nuggets. Joining us over the phone right now, Mark Schindler has joined us a couple of times here on the show. He's the co-host of Premium Hoops. We'll talk about that, podcast host as well. We'll get into all that and more. Mark, it's always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time again today.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jordan. I'm psyched to be back on. It's a nice, humid day here in Cleveland, Ohio, so I'm definitely keeping inside. My dog has been not as happy that we're inside the whole day, but good work day, man. How have things been on your end?
Yeah, things are beautiful. Weather's fine here in the state of Utah, and right now there's just a different buzz in the air with NBA basketball. First time I've worked in media where this kind of buzz has been flirting around. I mean, we can go all the way back to 2008. The Jazz made a nice run, but you had to run into Kobe and the Lakers. And that was kind of a foregone conclusion for about three seasons here in the state of Utah. I don't know that anyone really thought this team could win an NBA championship. And for those who did not think that this year, you've got to start becoming a believer after what we watched last night. Utah taking a 2-0 lead over the Clippers, a team that you and I both were very high on at the end of the regular season, Mark.
Yeah, it's been a really good series so far for the Jazz. The simple way to start off. I've just been so impressed with them, but also I have to counter and say too, I've been really disappointed with the Clippers this entire postseason. I thought they should have taken the Mavs out in five or six games. They've been doing some really wonky stuff on defense that I'm not a fan of. They've just completely jerked around their rotation multiple times and really don't seem settled into anything. And it's just weird. I don't really understand what all has been going on with them. I can understand, like, schematically seeing that. But internally, I'm, like, just not really sure where they're coming from on some things. But the biggest thing is, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell have been absolutely fantastic to open up. I mean, Donovan's averaging 41 points across, of course, a small sample size. But I don't care. Like, he's just been awesome. I was thinking about this today. Like, he's probably one of the best guys in the NBA at splitting double teams. Like, I put this clip up on my Twitter when I was rewatching this morning. I think it was in the second quarter when he splits PG and Nick Batum. And his body control at the rim is just amazing. It's been so cool to watch him take another postseason leap like this. Like, I didn't think he could do anything at the top of what he did in the first round last year. And here he is doing it again in the second round against the Clippers, man.
Doing it against a much better team defensively as well. I mean, against the Nuggets, with what he did last year, it was jaw-dropping impressive. But when you're doing this against a team that has perimeter defenders like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, it really is off the charts. Now, let's talk about some of the things. We'll start with the Clippers here. Because over the first two games, two things that have stood out to me. Marcus Morris could not hit water if he fell out of a boat right now. This guy has been dreadful, and last night he was dreadful once again. He's 0-5 from deep. I believe he was 1-9, if I'm not mistaken, in game one. I don't have those stats brought up. It was something similar to that.
1-14 in the entire series right now.
Dreadful. Yeah, it's dreadful, and he is still putting up shots at key moments. And I have to question Ty Lue in this regard because Morris played 37 minutes last night. Now, I understand the Zubas and the Gobert matchup. It's not ideal, right? I almost feel like Zubas is nearly unplayable in this series. That's kind of the way I view Zubas at this point in time. But Ty Lue has got to figure something out with Marcus Morris because it's not working. And I almost feel like the last two games, Morris has shot the Clippers out of two wins.
Yeah, so I have a couple things on that. The biggest one for me was Zubats. I understand where a lot of people are coming from. And granted, he has not had a good postseason, but also, like, they have put him in really terrible positions. And I think part of that is fed into his confidence being where it's at. Like, he is just not playing super confident basketball right now. But my thing is, The Clippers were actively looking to ice every pick and roll from Donovan Mitchell yesterday, at least to open the game. And that led to Donovan Mitchell getting three straight wide open off the dribble threes, which he nails at a really high rate. I think that sparked they go up 11-2 or 11-4 really early. And I think people will point and say it's Zubac's fault, but you look at it, and they're asking Zubac to play play center field, so not a full drop, but halfway between a full drop and to the level of the screen. What I don't understand is if you're Ty Lue, why aren't you asking? If you want to ice that pick and roll whenever Zubac is in it, then you either play him at the level of the screen or you just play somebody else if you want to play that way, because they're just giving Donovan Mitchell wide open shots. And so part of it is yes, Zubac is on the floor and it's a mistake that happens, but the coaching staff is asking to do it, which is kind of wild to me. Because it's just pretty clearly, if you've watched Donovan Mitchell play for 10 minutes this year, that's a terrible idea. But, credit to Rudy, because Rudy does a great job of any time that they're trying to flip that action. He sets the screen, but he rescreens really quickly to make it harder to fight back over. The Clippers have just been doing some kind of galaxy brain stuff on defense, honestly.
It hasn't made a lot of sense. I mean, it really hasn't. And I know that there's still plenty of time for the Clippers to right this ship. You were talking about Donovan Mitchell, but you and I off the cuff, Mark, also had a conversation about Rudy Gobert. And I have no doubt in my mind that Donovan Mitchell has been the best player in the series. Let's make that perfectly clear. But what Gobert has been able to accomplish, especially last night, there's a guy that goes for 13-20. And when he starts hitting his free throws, this is a problem for a lot of teams. Donovan Mitchell may be the most satisfying player, especially if you're looking at statistics, but Rudy Gobert may have the biggest impact in the entire postseason up to this point in time.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd go over Joel Embiid. I think Joel Embiid's probably had the biggest impact this offseason. Not offseason, postseason. Gosh, it feels like it should be offseason.
It does, yeah.
I'm so messed up with time and everything, but looking at Gobert, it's really finicky. One of my things that I've really gotten frustrated with this year is everybody trying to power rank the top three Jazz players, and everybody goes every which direction with it. I'm like, well, it just kind of depends on the night, and also it's all about synergy. This team is not 52-20 if they don't have the kind of synergy that they've had this year. So to me, it's less about one guy, but a lot of it does come back to Rudy. The impact is huge. We were talking about this, you mentioned before we got on. His roll gravity has been awesome. Off rip, that's been awesome. Especially with how small the Clippers have been going, with how little Zubac has actually ended up playing. Rudy's been great at getting inside and finishing, because that's been a problem for him before. In the Houston series, he didn't finish well, or at least well enough, considering who he's going up against. He's been awesome at that this year in the postseason. But also, it's just the defense. The amount of drives that he stops from even happening, Reggie Jackson or Kawhi or PG is coming down the lane, and they see Rudy and they hesitate or they just stop outright. He's been incredible on the defense, man, and so much stuff. It's the block shots are nice, but outside of that too, he's been good rotating out onto the perimeter. He's just been he's been so good, man. He's throwing a wrench into everything that the Clippers are trying to do on offense.
Mark, I feel as if the Clippers have to take both in Staples for them to have a chance to win this. I just don't know. For one, this is not Dallas we're talking about. This is the Utah Jazz with three All-Stars. And if we see Mike Conley within the next, three games or so, you're going to have to beat a fully healthy Jazz team twice at Vivint. I just don't see that happening. I'm viewing it as the Clippers have to get a win tomorrow. They have to win game four to have a chance in this series. I'm curious as to your thoughts.
Oh, yeah, I agree. This is not playing Dallas, you're mentioning. I think you really need to win both games back home if you're the Clippers. Ideally, they hadn't lost both games at Vivint, but it's so weird to know what to think with this, because I thought that series was done after game five last round, and lo and behold, the Clippers were able to come out and pull it out. But you mentioned, it's different. We actually talked about this too in terms of looking at Mike Conley coming back, and you brought up something really good with me about maybe Mike Conley not coming back in the next game, even if he is healthy. And I think in thinking about it, that does make sense to me, because I don't want to rush him back. You want him to be right. You don't want to and that's not to say that the training staff isn't going to be on top of that. I have no doubt that they would be, but it's just given that it's playoff basketball, they're going to try and get him out there as soon as possible. But I do think there is something to it. Like, you have to think about, too, okay, well, Mike hasn't played the entire postseason. If he comes back now, what if you? I mean, there's a lot of chances for him to be rusty. Like, he probably would come off the bench and it would be a little bit different. But at the same time, you're like, okay, well, we're on a good roll right now. We're up 2-0. I'm willing to maybe take that chance and see if we can take game three without Mike, without, you know, getting him some extra rest. I think there's some real merit to that idea.
Yeah, and my whole thought process behind this is right now you're playing every other day. We're not seeing the big gaps in between games. And so the idea that Conley couldn't play in game two, but he could play in game three, well, in my mind, you might as well wait and play him in game four because you have control of the series. A hamstring injury is something that can linger throughout the entire postseason. Just look at Brooklyn. Look at what's happening with James Harden. You're in control of a series. Rest that particular injury. We saw it with Chris Paul when he was with the Houston Rockets. To me, the risk-reward right now, the risk does not, the risk outweighs the reward at this point in time because you have managed to handle the Clippers twice. Until control of the series is up in the air, I say you rest your all-star point guard. I think he's that important to this Jazz team as well.
Oh, definitely, man. Like, I think if they really want to, I mean, of course they want to win a title, but to actually, A, get there, because whoever they play in the next round, which I think is going to be Phoenix, that's going to be really tough. If you don't have Mike, like, I would take the Jazz if Mike's not playing, to be completely honest. But also, like, even looking past that, if you get to the finals and you don't have Mike Conley, I just don't really know what you're getting there. That's asking a lot out of the rotation without him. So I'm in total agreement with you, especially too, just even defensively. The offense is where I think you come into the biggest problems, but defensively, I think he's been missed.
Again, Mark Schindler joining us right now as we talk NBA basketball. We'll talk more about Mark's work in just a moment. Mark, we do have a doubleheader tonight that we have to talk about, one being in the Western Conference. Phoenix seems to have complete control over the Nuggets. We talked yesterday about Mike Malone really taking it to his team using the Q word, which you hate to hear from a coach. You rarely hear that from a coach, but he did drop that after game two. And we also have Philly and Atlanta tonight. Atlanta has stolen home court advantage. I still feel really comfortable with where Philly is at in that series. I just love what they bring to the table. How do you see these two games playing out?
I think I'm going to take Phoenix tonight again. It's, you know, just looking at the way that they played, Michael Porter Jr., I mean, again, I'm not medical staff, but his shot was not there. Like, he was taking a shot that looked completely different than his regular form. He tweaked his back in game one, and I felt that there was no reason for him to be out on the court, in my opinion. Like, he was clearly not able to bend. His flexibility wasn't there. He just didn't look comfortable. It just felt like, okay, get him some rest, play somebody else, see where he can be going. Jokic struggled a little bit in game two, but part of that's just they have nobody else right now that is able to get to the rim consistently. And I've gotten a little bit frustrated, is the wrong way to put it, but like, you know, on the broadcast or just in general, people are saying, oh, well, they're settling and getting to the rim. The problem is they don't have anybody who's going to get to the rim. Like, Austin Rivers is not a guy that I'm consistently counting on to drive to the hoop. Facu Campazzo is definitely not somebody I'm looking to get to the rim consistently. And even if he got there, I'm not looking at him to finish. A lot of it right now is just, this is what happens when you don't have Jamal Murray. This is what happens when you don't have PJ Dozier. They've really missed defensively. And he also does a lot as a secondary creator. Like, overall, I mean, this has just been a letdown series for the Nuggets. I think their defense has been really poor. The offense hasn't, I mean, they've missed a ton. It's a really reductive way to put it. But overall, I think they should be playing better. But I still think the series should be 2-0. I mean, the Suns are playing. I might catch flack for this. They've played better than the Jazz this postseason.
I agree.
Like, they look.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're spot on with that.
Out of all the teams I'm watching, I think the Suns, other than the Nets, have been the most impressive team to me. I came into this postseason thinking that the Suns were a team that could make the Western Conference Finals, and now I'm thinking that the Suns could make the NBA Finals. They've been absolutely incredible to me. Chris Paul's injury really seems to not be hampering him anymore and just is flat out away. Devin Booker's been incredible. I'm going to take the Suns tonight, although I wouldn't be surprised if the Nuggets win. Like, I think the Nuggets will win at least one game, because Nikola Jokic is the MVP and deserving MVP, and he's been fantastic. And he's capable of pulling a game out for them. but I just don't think they have the horses to win the series. But then looking over to Atlanta and Philadelphia, I think I'm a little bit more confident in Atlanta than everyone else is. I know that they did a much better job of trying to stifle Trey in game two, but I think overall, in looking at the series, like, I still am just unsure about Embiid's health. Like, he's out there playing on one knee pretty much, which always makes me nervous for any player. He's still been absolutely fantastic, but they're really not getting the contributions that you want offensively from Ben Simmons. And again, he's been incredible defense, so I don't want to take anything away from him there, but the free throw shooting has become like that's just compounded in the postseason. After it was starting to get better in the regular season, that's gone now. I would also point out the Sixers have been ridiculously hot from the field. Shooting variance does matter and plays a big part in the playoffs. I think this is a much closer series than some people seem to think. But I think we're in line for a much better Trey game tonight. I'm going to take the Hawks because they're back in Atlanta.
Love it. Love it. Mark Schindler, again, our guest right now. Mark, before I let you go, as always, great stuff. Please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Yeah, you can find me at MSchindlerNBA on Twitter. You can find my work at premiumhoops.org, and my podcast is just Premium Hoops. We have a couple of pods on the network. We've been doing really great stuff, and we're starting to ramp up. We're revamping the website right now, actually, so that should be changed up in about a week or so. But yeah, man, you can find most of my work just up on Twitter, and I'm pretty active there, and I appreciate you having me on, man.
It's always fun, Mark. We'll do it again real soon. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
You do the same.
Let's get out for another quick commercial break. We know more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return, and it's right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.